And welcome into the show here on this Sunday afternoon. Joe Block along with Pirates General Manager Neil Huntington. The Pirates and the Brewers will take place. Final home game here at PNC Park coming up in just a little bit. And as we chat with Neil, the Pirates here toward the tail end of the season usually every team has injuries, but of course at the end of the year they start to mount as the toll of the season takes place. And I wanted to get some updates and clarifications, I guess, from you. We found out yesterday that Joe Musgrove, with an abdominal wall muscle strain, a stress reaction in the front of his pelvic bone. He said he'd been feeling something for a little while. And, is it one of those things that at this point of the season where the Pirates are, it's easier to shift away from that? Because he said that he would keep pitching if they were still in the thick of things. But, yeah, where's that balance between, health and competing?
It's a very delicate balance, and Joe Musgrove is a competitor. Kell is a competitor. These guys want to be out there. They want to be competing. They want to help their teams win. And as we look at finishing this year as strong as we can, because it's creating momentum, it's creating belief, it's creating helping us make decisions as we go through the offseason. These games against Milwaukee, the games against Chicago, these are meaningful games for them. So these are real competition. When two teams that are out of it start to match up, it becomes more of that. It's hard to evaluate really what's genuine and what's a AAA players against AAA players. But when you're playing the Cubs and you're playing the Brewers and you're playing the Cardinals, those are meaningful games, and so it helps us get a feel for next year. In Joe's case, should that 6 weeks of rest not be the answer, now we're starting to significantly impact his off season, and Joe is a meticulous worker in the off season. Shoot, he's a meticulous worker in season. So the thought is the additional two starts, the 2 weeks of delay in getting him healing, getting him healthy, the fact that he does feel that he's begun to impact his mechanics a little bit. He can't do everything he wants to do. If you notice, the velocity's been down a little bit here recently. There's been more elevated pitches. He can pitch through it, but is it in his best interest? Is it in our best interest? Or do we just get his offseason going, put him in a position to have as normal an offseason as possible so that he comes into 2019 ready to help us win games and position ourselves to win a World Series? And that's that delicate balance. Every game is meaningful. Every game is important. But with where we are right now, we wanted to get Joe going into his offseason to get him healthy and to get him ready to help us win as of opening day next year.
So if the rest works, he's fine. It's a normal offseason. If it doesn't, there's a possibility it could creep into spring training, et cetera.
Yeah, as Joe talked about,
but we don't
and
know
again,
that yet.
Here's the hard part of with medical information is we're obligated by law to disclose what the player is enabling us to disclose. There are things that we can and can't talk about. There are things we shouldn't talk about. What Joe has talked about, if the rest doesn't heal, doesn't result in the abdominal wall strain getting better and doesn't result in an improvement in the stress reaction, then there could be surgery. And so that's where this 2 weeks, as maybe crazy as it sounds, it shifts his calendar. If there's no surgery, he's going to have a normal offseason. If there's surgery needed, it's going to delay it a little bit. And again, that's where this 2 weeks is important, is we're trying to put him in a position to be as good as possible, ideally for opening day next year.
Makes a lot of sense. Also, Edgar Santana saying that he's scheduled to visit a doctor tomorrow. And what's the latest on him? And, is he in that same boat where you may want to be on the side of caution even if he does come out clean tomorrow?
Even if he comes out clean tomorrow, I would not envision Edgar Santana pitching again. He had discomfort, left the game with an issue in his forearm / elbow. And with where we are with as few games as we have left, time becomes our enemy. Not so much we're shutting him down, but just we're going to run out of time, because anytime you feel a little bit of discomfort at any point in the season, you try to stay away from that pitcher, you rest that player, and that's why the disabled list exists, and we're just running out of time, even if we get a completely favorable report tomorrow. Tomorrow.
And for Santana, you mentioned Kella as well. What do the Pirates do, without giving away trade secrets, of course, but how do you determine when is the right time to say shut down a pitcher, even if they're experiencing no symptoms, some symptoms that could be relatively minor? Where does that come into play? For instance, Rodriguez has pitched four games in a row, which is 4 out of 5 days. Vasquez has pitched five out of eight, but he's been doing that throughout the season. Rodriguez has done that throughout the season. But, you know, is it experience, you know, their age? Is it past history? Are all those things factors? How does that all get figured out?
We wish it were pure science because then it would be an easy answer, but it's much more art than science. It's much more use science to make an educated decision. But there's you will never know if a player would have gotten hurt if you shut him down. So that's the easy answer, is we'll just shut him down. That's not always the best answer, and that's where we walk that fine line. So you do. You take a look at a player's past workload. You take a look at his current workload. You take a look at the crispness and quality of his stuff. You take a look at how he's recovering as four of, you know, the 30-some factors that will weigh in to each and individual decision. And our goal here is to prepare these players to play at a high level through October, because that's where we need to get these guys to, and each individual case has its own merits, has its own reasons to continue or reasons to discontinue and to shift focus, and we try to make those decisions on an individual basis based on a huge number of criteria.
Yeah, and we've noticed, too, through the years, there is no rhyme or reason to saying, yeah, if you limit pitches or if you limit innings or if you do this, this cures that. We have not seen that. We've seen guys go out and throw 200 innings and make 32 starts every year and be just fine as well. Chad Kuhl, having the Tommy John surgery, this is something that I think caught a lot of people by surprise, because we just don't hear, you know, knock on wood, the Pirates have that very often with their pitchers, whereas you may even have the numbers to boast. I'd like to know them if you have them, or roughly. But the Pirates, I think, beat probably most teams in fewer Tommy John surgeries, especially at the on the 40-man roster. Why do you think that is?
I think it's a multi-pronged approach. Our coaches work really well to help pitchers create efficient mechanics. Again, there's not a cookie-cutter approach. There's not a one-size-fits-all with respect to the delivery and the arm action. Our staff does a really good job of protecting arms. You talked about Clint with Rodriguez 4 of 5 and Vasquez 5 of 8. I would put our back-to-back numbers against anybody in baseball, and my guess is they're among the fewest. I would put our three times in a row numbers. I would just about guarantee that those are among the fewest. Our pitching coach, whether it's Ray Searidge or now Justin Message or Yuki Rojas, they're really engaged with our pitchers. And how are you feeling? Do you need a day? Do we need to alter your between start routine? No pen, light pen. You know, how do we take care of these guys? Our strength and conditioning staff does a fantastic job of keeping these guys strong. Jim Malone, different pitchers, different agents, different people around the club have expressed to me how appreciative our pitchers are of Jim Malone this year and how he's kept them strong. And then our trainers and our physical therapists do a great job of keeping these guys healthy, but then also doing prehab to try to do everything in our power to keep them healthy. Unfortunately, injuries are a part of the game. We are proud of our track record. We do have some Tommy John survivors on our major league staff. Chad Kuhl is going, in our mind, is going to come back from this as strong as ever. Sometimes it's genetics. Sometimes it's wear and tear as a youth. Sometimes it's one pitch. Sometimes it's and so the injuries are unavoidable. But how do we minimize them? And we think our staff's done a nice job of minimizing them to this point.
That seems like it. We're visiting with Pirates general manager Neil Huntington. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about you know, at least penciling in plans for the offseason. That's when we come back right here on the Pirates Baseball Network. Back on the Neil Huntington Show here with Pirates general manager Neil Huntington. That's why the show is named after. Let's talk a little bit about next season. And I know so many things can change. Things could change in a week from now. But right now, looking at the 2019 season, one of the things I was thinking about is you're looking at the most of the last segment of the group of the previous postseason run now seeding their way. It's really taken place over the course of the season by performance to the next group that makes the postseason run. And the rotation, of course, stands out the most. Are you happy with the depth of starting pitching, but also the ascendance of the top guys? And do you believe this kind of performance is sustainable?
Well, we will never say we're satisfied with our depth, because pitching, to steal a line from a colleague, pitching is a game of attrition. You never have enough of it. especially starting pitching. And so while we're very pleased with what this rotation has done, we do believe we have guys on the cusp, and then in double A and an A ball that will be good major league starting pitchers. And what this staff has done, and to hear Francisco Cervelli, or to hear the different pitchers talk about each other, and how much respect Chris Archer has for Jameson Taillon, and Jameson Taillon for Chris Archer, and Joe Musgrove, and the impact that he's made on the mound and in the clubhouse, and Ivan Nova, just kind of that stable veteran. And then I don't know how you can say enough good things about what Trevor Williams has done here in the second half. Obviously, Nick Kingham gets the start today. In most rotations, Nick Kingham is in the rotation and is one of those young starting pitchers that you're really excited about. We've got Mitch Keller on the horizon. We're going to miss Chad Kuhl next year. But Chad would really look like he had just turned a corner and figuring some things out, and really was our most productive starter for about 6 weeks until he went down with the forearm, which obviously is now elbow, which, and those, I know people cringe when they see forearm, or, well, you said forearm and it's elbow. There's three inner working parts of the elbow, and the forearm and ligament are often related. When one is compromised, the other one shows signs sometimes. So they do, and that's why sometimes forearm does turn into Tommy John, because the ligament looks stable, but the forearm is the one that takes the brunt when the ligament may be compromised a little bit. But coming back to the starting pitchers, we do like this group. We like this back end bullpen. Our overall bullpen numbers are skewed a little bit because I haven't been able to find a good middle mix for Clint, where we've got guys coming in when we're down 4-2 in the fifth, and we hold that deficit. We've had the trend of turning that into an 8-2 deficit. So there's definitely room for improvement. We like some of the young arms we have coming behind. We absolutely believe this is sustainable as a collective. Now, some pitchers are going to be better next year. Some pitchers may regress a little bit next year. Some young pitchers are going to be on the horizon. We'll always look externally to see what else we can add. But we have intelligent pitchers that are driven to be great. They have weapons, and they're learning how to be successful at the major league level, especially as you start to think about the youth of the rotation. You know, Chris Archer is the veteran. He's in his sixth year. He'll be 30 next year. Musgrove's in his second full season. He's 25. Jameson Taillon in his second full season. Trevor Williams in his second full season. And with Kuhl being in his second full season, with Keller on the horizon. So it's a young rotation that's really learning and figuring things out as we go.
And, you know, on the offensive side of things, do you wish to augment the offense at all? In some veins, that you look at, for instance, Dickerson, he's hitting close to 300, but the power was down this year. Bell's power down this year and coming back decently. Moran's a rookie. The power's starting to come back a little bit. Luplo is a wild card and is going to get some playing time next year. You know, how much can you count on some of those guys' power returning, some of them starting to show up for the younger players? And how much maybe do you look at last offseason and say, you know, there were some one-year type contracts that were pretty friendly that could find some effective players. How do you absorb all that with the offense? And do you think it needs a little help for next year?
Well, we know that we need to be more consistent. We know that we need to be more productive to support this great rotation, to support the really strong back-end bullpen. Again, another group that is relatively young, relatively inexperienced. Josh is finishing his second full season. Colin finishing his first full season. We may be young up the middle. Cervelli and Diaz were as productive a catching tandem as there was in baseball. So, but as you look at first base, Josh was not as good as he was a year ago. Colin has the ability to be better than he was. The outfield, all three of them are relatively young veterans. But all three of them had stretches where they were among the most productive outfields in baseball when all three of them were hitting at the same time. And all three of them have had longer stretches of time where they weren't as good as they can be. How do we help them be more consistent? Will we look externally? We absolutely will look externally. It's a matter of how much of an upgrade we can get. Everybody always feels that the veteran is the safe way to go. And yet if you look at our history as an industry of free agent signs, we're less than 50% do we get a quality return on those investments. So free agents are not always the answer. Humans are very volatile, and human performance is very unpredictable. You always feel better when the guy that you're rolling out there has a back of a baseball card that said he's produced in the past, but past performance is not always a guarantee of future performance. So we'll explore the market. How much better do we think player X or player Y could be, and how does that impact the allocation of our resources that we have available to us? But we'll continue to always find a way to help this club be better.
We'll look more into next season and some of the at least penciled in plans for next year with General Manager Neil Huntington when we return right here on the Pirates Baseball Network. Back with Pirates General Manager Neil Huntington here on the Neil Huntington Show. The Pirates and the Brewers coming up in just a little bit here from PNC Park. And we were talking a little bit about what next season might look like. And we talked about offense and pitching. Of course, defense is an important part. And I think few would argue the outfield defense was very, very good this year. Behind the plate looked good. The infield defense, Clint Hurdle has acknowledged the Pirates would like to improve that too. How do you do that? I'll just leave it open-ended. How do you do that?
That's a great question. It's a lot of individual work to get Josh Bell from where he was 2 years ago to where he is now. Really strong accomplishment, but we still have a lot more gains that we need to have Josh become an effective Major League first baseman defensively, as well as get the bat back to where we thought it was going to be a year ago. And we're seeing really strong signs in September of the offense. And again, the defense is getting better. Colin Moran at third, the speed of the game, I think, is more than he anticipated. He's acknowledged that. How do we improve his first step? How do we improve the lateral range? Because when he catches a ball, he picks it up. It's as accurate can be. He hits the first baseman in the chest on almost every throw. Better in September, the 5-4, the starting of the 5-4-3 double play, he's been better. Adam Frazier, the more he plays at second base, the better defensively he's gotten. Kevin Newman is learning the speed of the game at the major league level and learning base runners and that internal clock and things that he was able to take that extra step in AAA. He's not able to take it in the big leagues because the ball's hit a little bit harder to his left or right. He's a little bit off balance, so he's learning. Jordy, again, just a solid, steady professional. So whether it's internal, it's improved coaching, it's improved physical technique, it's improved lateral range or first step quickness, and then of course you always explore the external market to see what's out there as well and what fits with the resources we have.
And for the Pirates too, you mentioned Newman, Mercer. How critical is shortstop for you? How does that get sized up with Mercer being a free agent? Is that one of the biggest question marks you have going into this offseason? Is how do you handle that as you still evaluate here with a week to go of this season?
Sure. Old school baseball told you that you needed to be strong defensively up the middle to win championships. And teams are kind of throwing that on its head a little bit. If you hit enough, then you can overcome some defensive shortcomings if you pitch well enough. But pitching and defense still does win championships, and we are very cognizant of that. We're not as ground ball heavy a staff as we were in 13 through 15, really even 16. But there are still balls in play that the more balls in play that we can turn into outs, whether it's through positioning, whether it's through athleticism, whether it's through reliability and dependability. And anytime you go with a young shortstop, when we transitioned to Mercer with Barmas here, there was some unease about transitioning to a rookie shortstop. And again, Jordy just solid, steady. Kevin Newman has those abilities. He's just showing some challenges at this point in time. There are times where he makes the plays you think he's supposed to make, and there are times where he doesn't. But he is capable of making the plays that he's supposed to make and making some that he's not supposed to. And we'll explore to see if there's a veteran free agent out there that makes sense to complement, to supplement, or to replace if he doesn't get the job done.
And for you too, I wanted to think about going into next season with the anchors of your starting rotation. I wanted to highlight both Williams and Tyon, who we talked about earlier. But Trevor Williams, looking back at that trade with the Marlins, I think a lot of folks might just think, hey, he just came up through the Pirate system. No, he was traded from the Marlins. What were you looking at from Trevor at that time that made you think, okay, this is a major league starting pitcher that could potentially be very good?
Well, our guys identified an extremely intelligent, extremely driven young man that had a really good feel for pitching. He didn't blow you away with 98, but his fastball played much better than the velocity readings. He could locate his fastball. He could sink it. He could elevate it with action. We thought there were the makings of a good slider there. We thought there were the makings of a good changeup there. We loved how he competed. Just a really nice job by our scouts identifying Trevor. Out of the amateur draft as well, we had tracked him there. But then when he became available in those trade conversations, he was a solid target for us.
And for Tyon, who has come through the system really has emerged as one of baseball's best pitchers, in my opinion. I thought he'd be an all-star this year, and maybe save for a couple of rough starts in April, he would have been. But and certainly could be next season. But that change he made in May, adding the slider, reevaluating himself with analytics and seeking that to see where his strengths were and where his weaknesses were, and then the ability to change himself and do the things that he sought to do. Is that pretty rare and special that someone could do all those types of things?
Yeah, we've got two starting pitchers between Nick Kingham and Jameson Taillon that added a slider during the season, and that's really challenging to do. Credit to them, credit to the coaches to bring it to their thoughts. Credit to them to be open-minded to try it. Credit to them to feel the instant, hey, this could work, and then not to abandon it when the first time they hung one and the hitter hit a home run off it. But the intelligence, the feel, the drive, the competitiveness, same things we talked about with Trevor, are present with Jameson Taillon. He's from a family of achievers. Our amateur scouts loved the young man, loved what the pitcher could become. And you talk about a guy that was on the path to becoming that. And then, again, it amazes me every time I say this, he struggled after cancer last year. That's not a sentence you're supposed to say about a major league player. And I think sometimes we miss how good he was. And then he struggled after he came back from testicular cancer. That's an amazing statement. One, that he came back. And two, that we have to justify that his numbers last year might not have been as strong because he struggled a little bit after coming back from his in-season cancer treatments. And just an incredible testament to this young man, how driven he is, how smart he is, and a guy that we're excited to have anchor our rotation for years to come, both on the mound, but his leadership off the mound, his drive, his desire to unite this staff and to unite this group of players to go accomplish something special. It's really great to see.
It's been an interesting dynamic with the starting rotation, how they've all come together pretty quickly. And back on the Neil Huntington Show and getting you set for the Pirates and the Brewers here in just a little bit. And we were talking a moment ago about the starting pitchers, and this was this previous offseason, of flux with Gerrit Cole being traded, with Andrew McCutchen being traded, and the pundits wanted to wave the white flag, and this year the Pirates have raised the Jolly Roger more than they did last year. Now, of course, postseason is the goal, but I think a lot of folks thought maybe the Pirates would take a step back. You had said that you thought it would, at least from a baseball perspective only, that it would improve the Pirates this season. Now that you've had just about a whole season to look back at it, do you still feel that that the baseball moves were made and that it did improve the Pirates?
We do, and we understood the emotional attachment to Andrew McCutchen and what Gerrit Cole had done in 13, 14, and 15, and the belief that you can't be as good, let alone get better, if you trade the perception of your two best players. And we talked a lot about those moves weren't made just to make the 2018 Pirates better, but to give us a better chance to compete in 18, 19, 20, and beyond. Andrew was going to leave after free agency this year, or was going to leave the free agency after this year. Gerrit was going to leave to free agency after next year. We acquired multiple players that can help not only 18 and 19, but 20, 21, and 22. And that it became about putting ourselves in a position to win a World Series as frequently and as consistently as we can, and not just losing guys to free agency. We've let some guys go to free agency, but we felt that the young players we added were going to allow us to be in a position. And if you look at this season, we're not where we want to be. We're not in a position to win the World Series. But if we had won one more game in April, one more in May, one more in June, one more in July, one more in August, one game a month. That's where we've fallen out of this, is one game a month. We win two games a month more. We're battling for a division, which is where we ultimately want to be. So now how do we take this group? How do we best instruct? How do we best lead? How do we best help this group be in a position to win one game a month more, ideally two games a month more, so that we're battling for a division championship? And that is the goal. And again, the nice part is the core of our team is young. The core of our team is coming back. We've got young players on the horizon. We've got some veterans that have had nice years that we're looking forward to continuing to push this thing forward. So in the big picture, taking the names off the back of the jersey, we feel like we've taken a step in the right direction. You can always look back and say, well, if you'd done this deal or that deal, maybe things have been different. In this situation, as we look back at who was available and what was actually available to us in all of those scenarios, we do still feel very good about the returns. And I can't sit here and tell you, man, we should have taken return X instead of return Y, because we would have been much better off. We like the players we have. Joe Musgrove, when healthy, pitched extremely well. battled through some challenges here, especially the last month or so. As he said, it progressively got worse and impacted him. Colin Moran plays like a veteran, so you lose the fact that he's a young player, and there are some young players doing some special things. So even a nice solid year as a rookie gets overwhelmed by the things that Soto's doing, or some of the other rookies that are going on out there right now. And you tip your cap to those guys, and we'll continue to go to work to find the next Acuna, to find the next Soto, to find the next Flaherty. And how do we identify and how do we sign those guys, or how do we create those guys in our system? How do we get Mitch Keller to hit the ground running when his time comes up here? But what we do, as challenging as those decisions were, we made them with the intent of putting ourselves in a position to win a World Series more frequently and more consistently, and we feel like we've done that, as counterintuitive as that sounds.
We've got 2 minutes left. I wanted to know if you get nostalgic at the end of baseball season. I know you have a 12-month calendar, but when the games stop being played.
I probably spend more time beating ourselves up when we're not good. And so the last 3 years, we've spent a lot of time. October is meeting mania for us, and we'll break down everything, every decision we made, every move we made, where we feel like we did okay, where we didn't do well enough, how do we get better on all facets of the organization. And those are a lot more challenging in the years that you don't do well. And we did it after 13, we did it after 14, we did it after 15 to try to make sure 16, 17 were going to be better than they were. We're going to do it again here after 18. We've got areas we need to get better. We've got areas we will grow. And again, October is about a review. It's a post-mortem. How do we get better individually, collectively? Where are some soft spots? And that's where we're about to tack here this month.
So for you, do you like watching the games? You know, you get to the end here and you miss seeing baseball be played in front of you a little bit?
Yeah, the pure joy of baseball. I love what I get to do. I love the fact that we can impact people. I love that we can create memories for fans. There's so many parts of my job that I love. I just love baseball. Right? And to be able to come and watch a game as every day as a part of my job is fantastic. Now, it's a different lens than some carry, but the baseball, the pure joy of watching baseball players play this game, how easy they make this very hard game look, is fascinating. So we do. The off season becomes the off season, but you don't have the reprieve of a game. Although most of the games aren't really a reprieve either, because you're living with each pitch and you're working to help these guys be as good as they can be, and you're working to win a World Series, and that's ultimately what we're here for.
Well, thanks, Neil, for the time. As always, Neil Huntington on the Neil Huntington Show. We got baseball coming up, the Pirates and the Brewers from PNC Park, and they all after this here on the Pirates Baseball Network.